Welcome to St Andrew's Church, everybody. My name is Fiona McGregor, for those of you who don't know me, and I will be leading the service this morning. We also have Sam on the piano. Rosemary will be both playing guitar and praying, not at the same time, and Tina will be leading the singing. Fortunately. We love welcoming new people to St Andrew's, and God keeps sending along different people at different times, and it's a great joy to continue to see God's church keep growing. We are focusing this month on Daniel and Rebecca Pharisee and their family in Kununurra. You will hear more about them in the prayers, and hopefully you're praying for them at home as well. For those of you who have just joined today, at the moment we're focusing on the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and today we'll be looking at Genesis chapter 12, where Abraham, we are told God's promise to give and to bless. We are some of those who continue to be blessed as God promised Abraham to him and his descendants, and that is a great joy. Our sentence for scripture today comes from Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, where God says to Abram, "All peoples on earth will be blessed through you." I hope that as you join us for church this morning, you are both excited and honoured to be part of God's family. I hope you'll be open to whatever God wants to show you. And I hope that we'll all look for opportunities to encourage one another after the service. But our first song today is going to be focusing on the basic essential for Christians, and that is living by faith, not by what we see, but living by faith. So please stand as we remind each other, we are God's people and we are saved through faith.
Raise up.
thank you. Please have a seat. Isn't that a great relief? It's not about us or what we do. It is all the gift of God and his work. Now, I'm going to invite Trevor up for a quick little preview of what he's going to be talking about later.
I don't know if you've been to an art gallery, but when you go to an art gallery and that little phrase, you know, seeing the big picture, it reminds me, I think, well, what does that little phrase mean, seeing the big picture? And I suppose if you go to an art gallery and you're really up close to the picture, it's hard to see it at all. And so you're often the artist will actually, or the people taking you around will get you to step back and have a look at the big picture. What we've been doing today is, again, just seeing the big picture from, for Abraham was in a situation where it was hard for him to see the big picture of what God's plans were, but he exercised his faith in God. He trusted God at his word. And it's a story, not so much about Abraham, but as with all the stories in the Bible, it's a story about God and a God who always keeps his promises, that despite we can't see the big picture, we have to trust God at his word.
Thank you. Just before kids leave for the kids program, I would like to pray for them. So would you join with me as we pray? Lord God, thank you. You call us to come to you like little children. Help us learn from our children. But as they go out today, please fill them and their leaders with your words of life and truth and hope. And we pray that you would be working powerfully through this time now, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would like to greet those around you as kids leave for their program now. The God who Christians worship is a great God. In fact, so great we cannot praise him enough. However, we can start to praise him more and more. So please join with me as we say this song of praise together. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Sometimes when we come to church, we can have other things buzzing in our mind. It can be very hard to focus. So I'm just going to give you a minute now to quietly bring those things to God, to lay aside and leave with him, so that we can focus and hear God's word, which is going to be read to us in a minute. Heavenly Father, we thank you that all Scripture is God-breathed. It can be painful sometimes when we need to be rebuked or corrected. It can be helpful when we are taught and trained in righteousness. We beg that you would open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lynn is going to come up now and read to us from Genesis, beginning at 11:27 through to 12:9. So either follow in your own Bibles or up on the screen.
Good morning. I'm reading from Genesis 11, starting at verse 27 and going through to chapter 12, verse 9. This is the account of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Adam and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards Negev. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Lynn. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to that Bible reading and keep it open, or to the handout that's inside your leaf, inside your news and notes this morning. Trusting God at his word, having faith in God is difficult when we can't see the big picture. But knowing God can be trusted to keep his word and seeing it unfold in history is the motivation to have faith and to keep on having it. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak to us through your word, the Bible, and we thank you that you give us your spirit to guide us into truth. Thank you for gathering us together this morning to listen to your word, to be reminded of your story, that we might trust you at your word and so find our faith well-founded in you who always keep your promises. Help me to teach your word correctly, I pray, and may we experience you guiding us into truth and encouraged. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine what it would be like to move house, and I think all of us here at some stage or not have moved house or moved flat or moved location from where we are. I just want you to remember the sorting and the packing, remember? The farewells, the memories, the forward planning, and those painful but necessary forms notifying change of address. Oh, goodness. And there's always someone that we forget, and or we know of people who, I don't know how many return to sender I've had to do in moving from one place to another because we haven't filled in the appropriate change of address. Imagine the rooms full of boxes, wrapping paper. Imagine stepping over the toys, over clothes, over kitchenware, over things in the garage, things that just haven't yet found a place to fit into a box somewhere. Imagine how unsettling it is for the children and how stressful for the parents, maybe even for those who are living with you. Why are we going, Mum? Where are we going? Where are we going to? Imagine the change in routine, the uprooting, the replanting, the saying of goodbyes, and not only to friends and to neighbours, but to familiarities. Moving house is a hard work. Imagine doing it at 75, and some of you, I think, may have done so. This was a situation for Abraham and for his wife Sarah. But imagine not having seen where you're supposed to go or to the place that you will be living in. That was the state of situation for Abram and for Sarah. Abraham now is the great-grandchild, 10 generations from Noah and 19 from Adam. He lived with his father's family in a place called Ur. It's around 2,000 years before the birth of our Lord Jesus. Ur has a different name today, which is difficult for me to pronounce, so I won't. But it's situated in present-day Iraq, about south of Baghdad and just above the border of Kuwait. Abraham lived with Sarah, and they had no children because Sarah couldn't conceive. And we come to verse 12 there. Look there at chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." I take it, it takes faith to leave your country of origin, to leave your people, your father's household, to go to a land, a new land, isn't it? A land that you've not yet seen. And I know some of you here have done just that. It takes faith to uproot after many years and go. Abraham had such faith. Faith in God to keep his promises, to be trusted at his word. Abraham knew God, and he was confident that God could be trusted to keep his word, even if Abraham didn't know or couldn't see all the picture. His story in the Bible is one of an example of faith in God. Hebrews chapter 11 in the New Testament spends a great deal in speaking about Abram's faith as an example of faith for all of us. But Abram's story, like all stories of God's people in the Bible, is more about God's story, God's plan to save his people. People who have faith in God, people like you and me. And this morning, we hear how that plan continued to be unfolded in the life and story of Abraham. Now, imagine again now, this time, you're back at school, okay? For some of us, that was not that long ago. For others, well, yes, we have to try and remember where we were at school. All right. And your teacher asks you to pick a team for a sports competition. How would you decide who would be in the team? I suppose we'd most likely pick the kids who were good at sport, all right? People who, kids that we thought could possibly win the competition. Kids possibly that we knew, maybe our friends, who were good at sport. In God's story from the Bible, God chooses people, certain people, to carry out his plan. How do you think God decided which people in his plan he would choose? At this point in God's story, from what we've read between the story of Noah and the flood to now Abraham, most people have become once more unfaithful to God. They were more interested in making a name for themselves than living life God's way. We read in Genesis 11, that chapter before today's chapter, a tower is built. The tower we know as the Tower of Babel. It was a statement made by mankind, again like Cain's back in chapter 4 of Genesis. I'll do it my way. Look what I've achieved. What need have we of God? And as a consequence, we read God confuses their languages and people are scattered into new lands to form nations. But God's plan is not confounded by mankind's rebellion. God's plan is and has always been to save people from their sin and to bring them back to himself. At this time in God's story, in God's unfolding plan, he decided to have one nation as his special people through whom he would carry out his plan. Which nation would God choose? Was there any nation good enough to be God's people? God decided to create a nation. He selected one man to be the father of that nation, which would be God's holy people, Israel. The man God chose was the man in the story today, Abraham, or first called Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, look there at verse 1 of chapter 12, what God said to him, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. It sounded great, didn't it? It sounded exciting. Don't know if it would be on a brochure for a cruise somewhere, but it does sound exciting. What a mission. But how could it come true? Abraham must have thought. For Abraham and his wife, Sarah, were old and could not have children. How could God make him into a great nation at their age? It seemed, like the movie, a mission impossible. But still, Abram went. He obeyed God at his word. He believed that God was able to do what he had promised. He believed that God could do far more abundantly than he could ever imagine, even the impossible. If we read on through Genesis, we would see how God kept his promises. We would see how God does bless Abraham. And at times we would read that, like us, Abraham wavered a time in his faith and took matters into his own hands. But despite these times of doubt in Abraham and Sarah's faith, we read how God kept his promises. He did grant Abraham and Sarah a child in their old age, Isaac. And through Isaac and his descendants, God gave birth to his nation, the nation of Israel, his holy people they were meant to be. And if we read through the next four books in the Bible after Genesis, we would read how this nation of people grew into, indeed, a big family. We would see how God did bless his people, though through difficult times, and how people and nations were blessed through them. Just got to remember the story of Joseph and Pharaoh. And now as Moses records this story, this history for them, they were on their way to the land that had been promised to Abraham. It was just there in front of them, just as Abraham had first seen. What a justification for the long and hard journey for God's people at that time. Once slaves in Egypt, now rescued, wandering in the desert, now on the verge of entering the land. The land they could see, the land Abraham was shown, and that God promised to them, the land of Canaan, and the promises God had made through and to that nation of the Canaanites way back in Noah. More importantly, to have faith in God and to trust him at his word, especially as they now are about to enter this land knowing their beginnings, knowing where they had come from, knowing their God and the kind of people God wanted them to be as a blessed nation, his holy people, to be a blessing to all nations and all people. And if we read on into the Old Testament, we will read how that land was given to them and that God did make them into a great nation of people, the nation of Israel. But we would also read that in time, how she failed to trust God at his word. Instead of being the nation of God's choice, chosen out of the world to be a blessing to all nations, all people, she turned in on herself and she got caught up in being blessed and failed to be the blessing she was meant to be to the other nations by seeking to be distinctively different. Rather, she chose to become just like the nations, coveting and adopting their gods, most turning their back on God, till eventually the nation and promised land is divided and eventually absorbed by other nations and taken from her in the 8th and 6th century before Jesus. And God's people become a wandering people throughout the world. Had God's promises to Abraham come to an end? Had God's plan come to a grinding halt? How will all people on earth be blessed through Abram? Despite the failings of Israel as a nation, God's promises to Abraham had not come to an end. Nor had God's plan come to a grinding halt. God will and would keep his promise to bless all people through Abraham. The prophets then spoke of a Messiah, God himself coming and fulfilling his promises. And as we open the pages of the New Testament, we read of a child born to a virgin, as the prophets foretold, who was that Messiah. It is through the work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Mary, God himself in the flesh, the perfect Israel, the descendant of Abraham, Noah, and Adam, that the promises of Abraham are fulfilled. Through our Lord and Savior's life, death, and resurrection, ascension, and glorious one day return, God's plan to save mankind from their sin is fulfilled, and all peoples on earth are blessed. In Christ, sin is atoned, its consequences forgiven. Life eternal is blessed. And we see how merciful and great and awesome and loving and welcoming and planning to show who he is, that God is. If anything, the story of Abraham and the nation of Israel is a reminder to hold on to our faith in God, to trust God at his word, and to benefit from the blessings that flow and of the consequences of failing to do so. All is required of us is to be like Abram, to have faith in God, to trust God at his word, and to keep trusting God at his word, even when it's difficult and we can't see the big picture. To rejoice in the blessing of sin forgiven and of life truly blessed by God. But more importantly, like all the stories in the Bible, it's the story of God. It's the story of God who always keeps his promises. Your God, the only God, who can be trusted to be fulfilled his promises and fulfill them God has and will. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us this morning. May we remember that you always keep your promises. We can have faith in you to always do so through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Fiona.
Just take a minute to reflect on what you've heard and what God wants you to focus on from today. I love Jesus' reminder that heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. When we base our life on his word, we are based on a sure foundation. So as we sing the next song, reflect on some of the words. They are very, very powerful. Do you choose to stand on every promise of God's word? Please stand.
It's been a while since we sang this one, so I'm sure you'll pick it up as we go along if you're not sure of it. You are
Just affirmed we will stand on every promise of his word. Please sit or kneel for prayer. Sadly, because of sin, we are very turned in on ourselves, as Trevor mentioned in the sermon. And in scriptures, we are reminded, yes, we still sin. And it is a very helpful thing that Anglicans do, confessing our failures, knowing the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. So before we pray a prayer acknowledging our failings, just take a quiet moment now to reflect on what you want to bring before God as we say this prayer together. Let us draw near to God, who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. The scriptures remind us that God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. Please join with me as we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Rosemary is now going to lead us in some more prayers.
Let us continue in prayer. God of enduring faithfulness, protect our faith from evil. Strengthen our minds and spirits so that we will give no opportunity to sin engulfing us. Shield our thoughts from the lies of the enemy and from the deceitfulness of sin. Help us to walk by the Spirit and in the Spirit, and keep us from being misled or tempted by any unbelief. We know that you are with us and for us, so thank you for the promise of blessing to those who trust in you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our stable and lawful democracy. We pray that God would preserve our government from corruption, violence, and political intrigue, and that we will continue to be faithful in praying for our government. We pray that you would bring about the best political outcome in the upcoming state elections this month. We pray for all candidates that are seeking election, that you will rule their hearts and minds to instill in them a deep sense of compassion, care, and justice for all people. We pray that we would not give in to fear about political developments, but fear God and trust his sovereign care, knowing that Jesus is the true ruler of the world and that his purposes will prevail despite the election outcome. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the 5 years of faithful ministry of the Pharisees who have served you in Kununurra, Western Australia, with Bush Church Aid. We thank you for Daniel, as he has been equipping 2 congregation members in preaching so that they may be confident in passing on God's word. We pray that you will help them as they continue in their biblical studies. We pray for the several Bible studies called Grow Groups, that through these more people have been looking to grow as Christians through studying God's word. We pray for the often sad and difficult times as people in Kununurra and in the congregation come and go in such a transient society. We pray that you will sustain the ministries already occurring and give strength and endurance to the leaders and congregation members who are helping in various ministries. And we pray for refreshing family time for Daniel, Beck, Rachel, Jessica, and Emily. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And Heavenly Father, we continue to pray for Anglican chaplaincies in hospitals. We pray for those who minister in aged care units, for those who are ministering in mental health institutions, and we pray for those who are ministering in public and private health. We pray for David Antonez in Concord Hospital. We pray that you will sustain him, give him strength to endure through often difficult conversations. We pray that your word may guide him as he seeks to care for those he comes in contact with. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A prayer for children's ministry in this place. Heavenly Father, we praise you because you have put all things under the authority of Christ and made him head over all things for the benefit of the church, including the children's ministry in this place. We thank you for the children of St. Andrews. May they experience the love of Christ as they learn about you. Please give every children's helper and teacher in kids' church and playgroup a deep passion for ministering to the children you have brought to them. Give them the energy and strength they need to do their very best every time they are given the opportunity to share your love and truth. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear God, in this season of Lent, we're reminded of our own difficulties and struggles. Sometimes we feel like our lives have been marked by such grief and pain. We don't see how our circumstances can ever change. But in the midst of our weakness, we ask that you would be strong. Lord, rise up within us. Let your spirit shine out of every broken place we've walked through. May your power be manifest through our own weaknesses so that others will recognize it is you who is at work within us. We ask that you would replace the ashes of our lives for the beauty of your presence, our mourning and grief for joy and gladness, our despair for hope and praise. We give you thanks today that you are with us in whatever we face. We know that you are sovereign, so we thank you for the victory that is ours because of Christ Jesus. And we are confident that you have good in store for our future. We thank you that you are at work right now, trading our ashes for beauty. And we praise you, for you make all things new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you join with me in the set prayer for today? Oh, sorry, I wanted them to join in with me. Oh, it's here. Sorry. Which one? Middle one? I can tell I don't usually use this. Will you join in me? Let us pray for confidence in the love and strength of God to overcome all our weakness. Father, you have taught us to express our love for you by prayer, denial of self, and works of mercy. When we are discouraged by our weakness, give us confidence in your love. And we ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Time now for some family business. It's wonderful to continue to welcome everyone to our services. As you know, they're at 9:30. And the SMBC conference that's coming up, there is a sign-up sheet at the back if that's something you're interested in. Rosemary's going, and if there are others who would like to be a part of that, it's always a great blessing to go to that. Hand up if anyone here has ever been to a Passover meal before. Great. Okay, so a few of us have. It is a very moving event before Easter, and this is something which Rosemary and Trevor are generously putting on the Wednesday before the Good Friday. There is a sign-up sheet at the back, so please sign up if you would like to join for that or speak with Rosemary. And I'm going to say a prayer now, thanking God for all his provisions to us. Please join with me. Father, thank you that you're a generous God. Thank you for giving us everything we have. And the offertories that we bring to you, Lord, they are a small reflection of your generosity. We thank you that this money will be used for the growing of your kingdom. And we praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. After church, Jeff and Yung Lan will be down the front here. If anyone would like individual prayer for anything, please come down and make the most of that. We are COVID safe, so get your morning tea and just head outside. That would be lovely. On the 19th of March, that's going to be next Sunday, there's going to be the AGM. Now, at the back on the bookshelf side, there is a minister's report there. So if you pick it up beforehand, read, then you can come along with questions to the AGM next Sunday after the service. God said to Abram, "All peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So I want to encourage you this week just to take a little time each day to think of some ways that you have been blessed because you're a descendant of Abram. Please stand with me as we join together and affirm what for centuries Christians have believed. Do you believe in God the Father?
We believe
in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son?
We believe
We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please stay standing as we remind ourselves, while many things in this world change, God never does.
You never change.
Please join with me as we say together, Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Finally, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you leave, remember to sign things on the back and take the minister's report. Thank you.